Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Understand, BT, is how Met fans are reacting to the latest news yesterday in regards to Pete Alonso, where there is a lack of trust in Steve Cohen and David Stearns. And I understand why a Met fan might have that 3, 4, 5 years ago, but to have that lack of trust now in Steve Cohen and David Stearns, to me, makes absolutely no sense.
I got to tell you, I'm very perplexed by this. I mean, the Met fans for years, and I get it, clamoring for new owner, you got one. He just got you Juan Soto. You know, clamoring for a competent general manager, you got one. Now, I understand the sensitivity that surrounds Pete, of course, and we'll get into Pete in a bit. Of course, this is about Pete primarily. It makes it a very unique situation, but it's amazing to me how disconnected the Met fan is right now to a general, less about Cohen, a general manager who just over delivered a year ago, year one on the job, and with Soto and some other moves, and there's more coming. Has you set up to be even better this year? What is going on?
I don't understand it. And I don't even think we could just gloss over Soto. You mentioned they begged and Met fans begged and screamed for a new owner. They got one. They got the president of the baseball operations, who is one of the best in the game and proved himself in his first year, over exceeding all the expectations that the majority of people had for him. Oh, by the way, and they went and landed Juan Soto, getting him from the Yankees. Steve Cohen has also proven in the past that he was willing to spend big, whether it's the Correa thing, whether it's losing Jacob deGrom and then going to pivot to Justin Verlander. Like, we've been down this road before with this owner specifically. The GM, or president of the baseball operations technically, proved himself a year ago. What's all the fuss about? And, like, the idea that, you know, the Mets don't know what they're doing or are going to build a team or are going cheap, it's just not right. They are going to build this team out. Now, it may take some patience here. Or, you know, maybe like this is the team, they'll add a couple of relievers here and go into the year with this team starting the season out. Okay, which, by the way, on paper, I would still argue is better than last year. Do I love it in comparison to the Dodgers or Braves or Phillies? No. But to your point, you said this with the Yankees, like, okay, well, they could just add in season. So, like, at some point, you actually have to trust the owner who's proven himself to go all in multiple times over, and the president of the baseball operations who proved himself in year one.
How did Billy Epler work out? The Mets had, I was Bucks, obviously. Was that Bucks' first year? Yeah, when they won 101 games, right? Which was the second most in Mets history. And what did Billy Epler decide to do with the deadline? He went out and got Vogel back and the other scrub. The lefty-righty platoon. So I just don't understand that the day that Billy Epler showed up, you had no farm system. That Stern showed up.
Right.
You had no farm system. You had no true transcendent superstar. Now, Lindor, for a couple of months, was that a year ago. But Soto's a different class. We all know that. So and you made the playoffs last year. And you were almost made the World Series. Now, I get it that the boundaries of trust are tested more when sentiment's involved. I get it. This is complex.
But
this is not like This is not like a somebody who was acquired by the Mets, say, years ago, but wasn't drafted by the Mets, and Stearns decided to move on. This cuts deeper because Pete's homegrown. Understood. But this isn't just about Pete. I even think before the Pete news yesterday, and we'll obviously dive deeper into that, that there was a disconnect, as I said, from the Met fan to Stearns, and I just don't get it.
Right, okay. So this already happened before with the homegrown, the sentiment, all that stuff with Jacob deGrom. And what did they do? They went and got Justin Verlander. Forget the results of it. Or if you want to add the results, that's fine. They were offering deGrom something. He didn't want it. He went for more to Texas, and it was a disaster. Like, he hasn't pitched, so the Mets were proven right. Oh, my God, how can you let Jacob deGrom go? Oh, I can't believe it. How are we going to survive letting deGrom go? I know you don't like when I make that face.
That's an ugly cry face, buddy, but it's, I know where you're getting at.
It was the right move. So they've already survived that, and you saw the owner then pivot. So why wouldn't the Met fan, and this is just how I thought. And by the way, on Monday I was saying, all right, just get a deal done. Like, there are no better options. I don't really love the idea of Pete, but the way that the offseason went, what's available right now, like, you need protection in the lineup for Soto. Just go extend for Pete, whatever it may be. But I wasn't thinking the right way. I was wrong. I wasn't even putting my faith in trusting them that there was a bigger move. I was playing checkers. They are playing chess. If they are not to bring Pete back, and as of now it seems like that's not going to be the case, they feel like they expect him to sign elsewhere, meaning that whatever their deal was for him, he didn't like it. They're like, all right, we got to move on. He's probably going to go elsewhere. He doesn't want this.
Yep.
They are thinking bigger. The report before that was also that they have already inquired about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. So then why wouldn't you, as a Mets fan, expect or want bigger than Pete? Don't settle just because he's your guy and, well, he was okay and hit some big home runs. Pete's a good power hitter, a prolific power hitter this time in the league.
100%.
He's also aging, and he also is coming off of two bad years. And also there's just something missing with Pete that prevents him from being that next level star, whether it's the intangible, whatever it may be.
Athleticism, well, sure, 100%.
You name it. You're telling me Vladimir Guerrero Jr. wouldn't be better? Absolutely he would. And for those who say, well, why wouldn't you do both? Well, maybe they tried to do both, but Pete didn't take their offer. So why would you take yourself out of Vlad? The point is, if you think that Steve Cohen is going to let somebody go, Alonso DeGrom, and not have a better answer, I don't know what you've been paying attention to the last 5 years.
But now you got to get him.
Yeah, well.
No, now you got to get him.
Or if it's not him, and if it's not now in February, let's say, or trade deadline or the offseason, it'll be somebody else.
For sure. But think about this. Like, again, the love and the affection for Pete, and I want to make sure that I'm very clear about this. Hey, Met fans, I get it. Like, there's nothing more heartbreaking pertaining to sport than losing one of you guys. Like, I'm not trying to trivialize that. Like, this, I understand that if this really does happen, and it looks like it's going to, it hurts, and it sucks, and I get it, and I can relate to it, and it's not fun. But that is separate from the lack of faith that many of you are admitting towards Stearns. Like, I've read a lot, and I don't always dive into the stuff on social media, but sometimes I like to do that social experiment just to kind of get a sense of what people are thinking. Also, buddies in town, buddies on my text chain, like the Met fan. Just want to get a general consensus. And one of the things I'm hearing, and this is nuts, and I'm going to refute it in a moment. David Stearns, he's operating like a small market, small-minded general manager. All right, well, first of all, you just gave Juan Soto $800 gazillion. Yeah. The Brewers, if he was still there, wouldn't have been at the table if they didn't have the economic backing to do it. So right away, that's not true. And part of the appeal, I think, for David Stearns, why I think he's such a great hire and did the day that they brought him here, is because he did so much with so little. Yeah, I know he didn't get to the World Series. The payroll was $90 million. So you just have to trust him. And it's okay. It's okay to be hurt, and it's okay to be pissed about Pete, but to lump in the takedown of Stearns, I don't get it.
And we've been down this road before where who do you think was more impactful to the Mets fan base, Jacob deGrom or Pete Alonso?
DeGrom.
Yeah, me too. Me too, because DeGrom was better at what he did. I'm not trying to disrespect
DeGrom. DeGrom was an all-time great.
Okay, an all-time great. He couldn't stay healthy, unfortunately, and I don't think he really wanted to be here. But Met fans had to deal with DeGrom being let go. And they were questioning ownership and general manager. How could this happen?
Mm-hmm.
And it was an instant recovery when you go out and get Justin Verlander and go out there and have success the year later, whatever it was, the exact timeline, and see DeGrom fail. Like, this has already been proven. The Mets, nor anybody else that's running their organization the right way, shouldn't be put in a situation where you have to bring a player back just because of sentiment. If Pete Alonso did what he was supposed to do, hit 260 and 40 home runs each of the last 2 years and driving over 100 runs, he would be back. Yeah. He would get paid what he wants. He would be back. A lot is going on here. He didn't perform up to the best of his abilities. The market has crashed. Nobody else wants him. He didn't take the deal the Mets offered him 2 years ago, and he didn't take the deals that the Mets offered him now. So this is not that the Mets aren't trying to win. They're afraid to bring Pete back. There's a lot of circumstance involved. But at the end of it all, BT, you have to trust Steve Cohen and David Stearns because they've earned it by what they have done.
Pete's a running back, but he's not Saquon. He's a running back in his late 20s, even though he's really 30. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a depreciating asset, and his limitations are very problematic to the point where if I was running the Mets, I wouldn't bring him back either.
From a baseball
perspective. Yeah, I really wouldn't. So there's just a lot here, and I am sensitive to it, but I think at the end of the day, I think the Mets, now it might not be this year, right? It might not be that
right.
That conventional, all right, they did this last year, now this year they take the next step, and then next year they win the World Series. Like, you can take a small step back to take a quantum leap forward. And I think that they're in the best hands they've been in. I said this to you the other day. You got the owner, you got the manager, you got the superstar player in Soto, you've got the general manager as well. You've got all the components. So just let these guys cook.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now it's time for you guys to cook. Chris is in the Bronx. What's up, Chris?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for getting me on. Just wanted to comment on the your question, Sal. Last year, were the Mets a Juan Soto away from making it to the World?
No, probably not. Although I do think having him in that lineup could have helped. Maybe they did get to the World Series. Who knows? But I would say probably not. They needed more in the rotation. They needed more in the bullpen. You there?
Right.
I think
So if they weren't a Juan, hello.
Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
If they weren't, if they weren't a Juan Soto, and yes, they did. Your management, your ownership got you your big fish, but what gives you faith that if they don't make any moves, which they haven't, besides the Juan Soto move, what gives you faith that they're not going to go up to the same start they did last year? And if they wait till halfway through the season to pick it up and to play playoff baseball, then they're just the same team they've been for the last 2 years.
It's not true at all. And thank you for the call, Chris. Like, you couldn't be more incorrect. The Mets in 2015 stunk for the first half of the year and ended up in the World Series. The Yankees have had regular seasons of great inconsistency and ended up in the World Series last year. Even that year, the Yankees fell apart last year to a certain extent, BT, midway through the season into the playoffs before finally righting the ship and then going through the postseason stretch. So I wouldn't say that what your team is going to be on opening day is going to be the team that's going to be July or even come postseason time. To say the Mets haven't made any moves or won't make any moves, where are you getting that from? Like, did you not read the actual report or see what the Mets have done, the way that they operate? The reports are the Mets are on to plan B, assuming Alonso is going to sign elsewhere. They bring back Winker, shore up the DH spot, and now they're going to get relievers. Like, what do you think, the Mets aren't going to make moves? Of course they are.
Listen, if people are a little reluctant to blindly, you know, even though it shouldn't be blind because what he did a year ago, but moving forward, to blindly trust Stearns' instincts. If you don't, and I get that. Maybe, you know, there's a little reservation still. That's fine. I don't say you have to be 100% all in after 1 year, but he's earned the benefit of the doubt, clearly for me and for you. But if you're not all the way in, at least be fair and ask yourself this question. You think David Stearns is an idiot? The answer is clearly no. You think David Stearns is going to let a great player walk out the door? Do you really think he's going to let that happen? The answer is no.
Okay, and then let me ask you this question. Do you think Steve Cohen cares about winning? Do you think Steve Cohen would be worried about spending money if it were the right investment?
I think, I'll take it a step further. I think Cohen cares about winning more for the Mets than any owner since George Steinbrenner for the Yankees and the Giants years ago.
Perfect, right? So we agree there. Stearns has proven his brilliance. He's not going to let good players that he values and thinks are good players go. And Steve Cohen, on top of that, certainly isn't going to let a player go for, like, they're not going to get outbid for a player that they want to retain, whether it's DeGrom, whether it's Pete Alonso. There's certain limitations. It's not that they don't want these players back. There are limitations that they have business-wise. And also thinking, okay, well, maybe there's a better investment to make. It has been proven with Steve Cohen, even in the ones he doesn't land, like Yamamoto. Oh, Steve Cohen doesn't spend, and the tax threshold. Nonsense. He tried to get Correa years ago. Didn't work out for injury stuff. He tried to get Yamamoto a year ago. Didn't work out because he went to the Dodgers. He got Soto this year. Maybe it's going to be Vlad next year. Like, if there's a better investment, specifically a younger player, then he's going to make it. Like, this is not me hoping it's going to happen. It has happened.
Yeah, and it's not this. It shouldn't be the same mindset for Met fans this January as it was last January. Because last year, forget about Stearns, just right. the roster. Last January, and this was the general consensus. I certainly thought this. You certainly thought this. We were aligned on this. We both thought Vientos was not it.
Right. And by the way, they thought that too.
Fair enough.
To a certain degree, at least.
You know, I got you. It was Beatty who was really thought to be very interesting, and Mauricio before he got hurt, right? Basically, Vientos was fourth out of four in terms of their prospects, right? So Vientos has proven that he's a stud. Nobody's going to refute that. Now, does he take a slight step forward? Does he take whatever? We'll find out, but he's a player. Last year this time, you guys were, and I thought this too, I thought the staff would stink. You guys were sitting there, Sean Manaea, what the hell are we going to do with Sean Manaea? Severino, his ERA was 6.5. Look what happened. You know, there was a point, I know it kind of fell off, 2 months, we actually threw, and it was not irresponsible, Severino in the Cy Young conversation. Because the number, now the back end of the Cy Young conversation, because the numbers, it warranted that. So, something that, here's what I'm saying in a long way. What you don't think is appealing now, you had similar thoughts a year ago, and most of it worked out.
Which means you should trust, for once, trust Stearns and Cohen. Chris is in Brooklyn. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys, how are you? Great.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story.
connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Great points all around. I am a huge Met fan. I'm diehard. Me and my son, my wife, we go across the country to see them. You know, I have more faith in this ownership and Stearns than I've ever had in my entire adult life. I think that the Met fans need to calm down because they will get it done. In regards to Pete, listen, we made him the offer in season for the extension. He said no. Okay, he gambled on himself, right? Didn't work out. They've made him the offer. So if he decides to go somewhere else now, that's on him. Years ago, we never made the offer to the player, and the player just walked, and that would drive us Met fans crazy. But that's not how it is anymore, guys. Guys, we're going to win. You want to know why? Not just because of Steve Cohen, but because of Alex Cohen. So Steve wants to win for his wife. Right, guys? Happy life. Happy wife.
Godless, they can go 0-162 with the money in the bank. She'll probably be happy anyway.
No. She wants to. She's
kind of kidding, but you know what I mean. You know, I'm kind of kidding, but you know what I mean.
She's a bigger Met fan than Steve
Cohen.
No,
she's very important.
Alex and her father, come on.
She's very, the family environment. I didn't really buy too much into that.
Right.
Until when she brought her dad, who's I think is 90, to meet Soto. Like she's very important.
She has been as much of a king in that organization as the guy that I dubbed the king, King Cohen. So really, there's kings Cohen.
Oh, she's the queen, dude.
No, she could be the king too.
She could.
Well, I mean, I guess. No, I don't want to.
Queen.
I mean, I don't know. Is that like? Let's not get into the semantics here. Whatever the highest ranking would be,
she's doing her job well.
Yeah, exactly right. And we'll get to the Alonso stuff because I think you bring up an excellent point. Whether Pete, like, oh, they just didn't want him back. Here we go again.
Oh,
I get it. They didn't want him back. The offer. It's so disrespectful. Nonsense. We'll discuss that and continue with your calls, BT and Sal on the Fan. BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We're talking Mets and the seemingly lack of trust in Steve Cohen and David Stearns. Now, as for the Alonso part specifically, BT, the other thing I'm tired of hearing about over the last 24 hours, the Mets really didn't want Pete Alonso. They didn't want him at all. Okay, they didn't. They offered him 7 years, $158 million contract a couple years ago. He turned it down. Strike one. He turned down the qualifying offer this year. Strike two. After, by the way, having two disappointing seasons. They then again offered him a three-year, $68, $70 million deal.
Which is lighter than the 3 years, 90, which we thought for a couple of weeks.
Which is why I said I was starting to doubt that, even though I heard it was that was the case.
Yep.
But started to doubt that because if it were 390, maybe Pete would have taken it.
Yeah, you did say
either
that.
Either way, 370. Turned it down. Strike three. They made, and they don't offer these things saying, we don't want you back. You're not going to, they wanted him back at what is fair market value and what they believe is a good investment. It's not like they said, screw Pete, we hate him, we don't want him. Otherwise, they wouldn't have offered. Do you think the Yankees wanted Gleyber Torres back?
Not a chance.
Why not? They didn't offer him any contract.
They didn't
right?
offer him any contract.
Correct. They didn't offer him any contract.
Yep.
There was no, even if they were, if you offered him 1 year, $10 million, he might have been yeah, sure, I'll come back.
Well, remember, we had Susan on, and Susan said that she thought that Gleyber was still waiting for that Yankee call. Never came.
Correct. Meaning that they definitively did not want him back. Literally did not make him an offer. The Mets made Pete Alonso three different offers in the last 2 years. He turned them all down.
Yeah, but I can't lump all three. Here's where we disagree a little bit. Now, the first offer was comparable to Olsen, fair, turned it down. All right. Pete bet on himself. Didn't work out, but not mad at you for doing that. Soto did it. Judge, others have done it. It works out. This offer, to me, I'm not going to use the word disrespectful because if you're disrespected by $70 million, you're on a different planet than the rest of us. But I think it was intentionally light enough where they knew he wouldn't sign it. They did not want him now. They used to want him. That changed.
See, I don't agree with that, BT.
Why?
Here's what I think changed. The market. The market 2 years ago was 7,158. And also Pete's performance. So, like, two things have changed. Pete screwed himself because he didn't take that deal back then, which was fair market value. He thought he was worth more than that.
He was thinking Judge.
And then he failed. Unlike Judge, he failed to prove himself, and the market came back down to reality. So, the Mets offered him market value, 7,158, which, by the way, led... Him turning down that 7 year 158 led to the Mets saying, okay, we're not going more than this. He thinks he's on another planet with 250, Judge like 300. He's going to hire Boris. Let's trade him. Then those reports started going out there. And then everybody who said anything negative about Pete Alonso, us included, was vilified. Oh my God, how can you say that? Blah, 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 blah. But the reality was the Mets said, we're not going to pay him what he thinks he's worth. Let's try to move him. They didn't. They gave him an opportunity to go out there and prove his worth. He didn't. They are now offering him, like, until, we won't really know the true answer until we see what he gets.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe they are offering him now fair market value. We don't know what the other offers are. We don't know what Boris went back to them. We do know 3 years. We're assuming it's $100 million or something like that. So obviously there's a pretty big disparity, $30 million, let's just say, roughly. But I believe 3 years, $70 million is what the market value is for Pete Alonso right
now. You know, I don't dispute that, but those, I think, are two different things. I mean, establishing market value and trying to adhere to that from a business perspective, I'm with that. And by the way, I think the Mets made the right call here.
Right.
I'm not going against the Mets. But to be fair to this part of the conversation, if they knew he wasn't taking that. They knew it. And it wasn't 1 year. It was just enough. And I said this a while ago. To you know, kind of cover their backs from the Met fan PR perspective. Hey, you know, we offered him 3 years, didn't want it, but they knew he wouldn't sign it. If they really wanted him, that does go to 90. That does go to 100. Even though it's a little bit above market value, they get it done. They didn't want him. There's nothing wrong with that.
Don't you think, well, I would just, and maybe it's semantics, I would just say that maybe they didn't really want him to the point where they're going to overextend.
Right, that's fair enough. But they're basically the same thing. Well, I said they like him, they don't love him.
Right.
They want him, they don't need him. So we're kind of saying the same thing.
Okay, but they would welcome him back gladly at a fair market value. Like, the owner clearly was okay with wanting him 2 years ago to offer him that 7 year deal.
That's a very different landscape.
Now there's a different, exactly, very different
for
landscape.
For all the reasons you said.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't need to reiterate, but it's a different president of the baseball operations with Stearns. Okay, fine. I still think the owner would want him back, and I still think Stearns would want him back, but just at a much lower cost. I don't think it's disrespectful. Now, could it turn out to be if Pete gets a five-year deal somewhere else? Here's why I don't think that's going to happen.
He's not getting 5 years.
Okay, so what do you think? What do you think Pete ends up with? Let's just play hypothetical for a second.
I think it's going to be three.
Yeah.
Maybe an option in there at the end to maybe trigger fourth based on benchmarks if he hits whatever. I think that Boris has to find a way to get him 100. And even if that's like just for to save face, even if that's leveraging a future client, like, hey, to a, you know, a, somebody he knows really well, hey, just get him to 100. And this guy who's eligible, you know, might steer him here. Like, that you can do business that way without us knowing.
Right.
I would be surprised if it's not 100.
And then
not much more than that.
And
though.
Then what would you say for the team that signed him to that contract? Would you say that that's an overpay, or you think that that's a good value?
I would say if it's a team like, say, the Astros, where he, because he's a pull hitter primarily the last couple of years, outside of the playoffs, when he hit Devin Williams to right field. I would say that maybe that can make sense because he might hit 50 home runs in that bandbox.
Right, but I'm saying, what do you think?
I know what you're asking me. It just depends on the team.
Like, Christian Walker is
Christian three. Walker's better.
Right, okay. 3 for 60.
He's also 4 years older, but he's better.
But okay, right. But you have to factor in the age. So I would say the age favors Pete, but Walker's a better player.
Yep.
So 3 for 60. So
I mean, if Seattle gives him $100 million, I'd say, that's not a good ballpark.
Right, but let's just say the AAV for Walker is 20. Based on that, where would you, Brandon Tierney, say that Pete Alonso's AAV
would be? 17.5. I would say it's lower because I think Christian's Walker better. Christian's better.
But factoring in
age. But basing that he's already got the 20. I'm not going much more. Again, you're asking me.
Okay, right.
Me.
Okay, right. But I'm saying, so that's your opinion.
Yep.
Even if I go over that and say, all right, well, the age, he's not as good as Walker, but the age, because he's younger, I'll say he's $5 million more a year.
25 a pop, 75 over 3.
That's what the Mets offered, 3 for 70. Yeah. The Mets offered him what he's worth.
I'm not saying that the Mets disrespected him like some are. I'm just saying it was just light enough to not have him sign it.
BT and Sal on the fan. Let's get back to the calls. Don is in Sound Beach. What's up, Don?
Donnie.
Hello, this is John. BT, I'm just wondering, how are the Mets better at this point right now than they were last year? Because they've literally done nothing to improve this ball club.
Well, I don't know that they necessarily are better, but I mean, they got Juan Soto, so you start with him, who's one of the best hitters in baseball.
But all Soto does is replace Alonso.
Hold on a second. Just so everybody knows, Don in Sound Beach just said, quote, the Mets have literally done nothing to improve this offseason. And I would counter that, Don, I would counter that by saying they literally signed the best free agent on the market to the most lucrative deal in the history
of
sports.
And how is the team? And how is the team better without Alonso moving for this year?
Well, Don, think about this, Don. Don, hold on a second. I know what you're getting at, okay? But where I think you're missing the mark is you're equivocating Soto and Alonso as players. Like, it's not a, like what you say, well, you lost Pete Alonso, but you're bringing in Soto and he's going to do the same thing, which is a push. That's not true. You're going to get 25 to 40% more production from Soto. And so even though you probably likely delete Alonso, you're better in that regard. Also, You have Vientos from opening day. Didn't have last year. You have Mauricio, possibly, who's going to be healthy. Not last year. You have Acuna, who shows a little life in his hands. Not last year. You had Alvarez, who got hurt. Now he's got a lot to prove. Who was hurt for months last year. Right now he's healthy. So, you know, and Manaea now is proven. But they're not perfect. The Mets, I even said, even if they brought Juan Soto and Pete, unless they would have gotten Tanner Scott and maybe Walker Buehler, which and they still could get Scott. But I still think they're the third best team in the division now. I do. But that doesn't mean that that's not okay. Because to become the sustainable team that you guys covet, sometimes moves like this are necessary, even if they're painful.
There's a difference between saying the Mets aren't at the level of the Dodgers, Braves, Phillies going into a season versus saying they aren't better now than they were a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are an absolute clueless individual.
Oh, that was nice. Look at this guy.
Look at me. I can be nice. I'm cleaning things up here.
The resolution's sticking so far, a couple of weeks in.
How can anybody, like I said, I don't like this lineup. I don't think it's good enough to win a World Series. However, it is better than it was a year ago.
Yeah.
And it may not be like the sexiest of lineups on paper like the other teams. It doesn't mean the Mets can't go further. The Phillies had a much sexier team than the Mets last year. Mets beat them in the postseason. So also the regular season doesn't really matter. It matters what happens if you get into the postseason and then what you do. What you do in the postseason. Juan Soto is, like, how can I say this? A billion, trillion, gazillion times better than Pete Alonso? So to say that they haven't done anything, it's just flat out, like, that may be one of the dumbest calls I've ever heard in my life.
I thought you were going to go for the Google Plex. You ever heard of that? Like, isn't that like one of the highest forms of mathematical numbers? Google Plex?
I don't.
Google something?
I'm not familiar.
That sound
with that.
Right? I think I heard that in fifth grade. I swear to God.
Don't start taking us down the number trail again.
Yeah. Let me make one point, though. Now, sometimes it works the other way. I'm going to bring our Knicks into it. And we had a lot of Knick conversations yesterday about Mitchell Robinson. You guys missed it. Free Odyssey app. Go check it out. Rewind. It's all over the place, right? So, on paper, what the Knicks did, there's a cat for Randall. There's no doubt. You know, Bridges for DiVincenzo. Knicks should be infinitely better than last year's team. Are they? Now, they might be, but right now, I don't think that they are. They got to work through some stuff. So, you can sometimes get better unconventionally, and you can sometimes get a little worse before you get better conventionally.
Yeah, it also doesn't mean just because I think that they're better going in that they're going to get to where the team last year got to. They got to a pretty far place.
I would actually bet that they probably wouldn't, but odds that doesn't mean they're not going in the right direction.
Correct. Odds are, just like the Giants, now the difference was the Giants weren't going in that direction, but you know they exceeded expectations, and you knew that there was going to be a step back after winning in Dable and Shane's first year, winning a road playoff game. You knew there was going to be a little bit of a step back. You just hoped that it was a small step back, but they were heading in the right direction. And right now, we don't know. With the Mets, they may be a little small step back results-wise. It's hard to get to the NLCS. It's what made last year so special coming out of nowhere, but they are better. Now, they need to get even better than that to, again, minimize the risk and say, well, yeah, okay, well, we project to be a 90-win team. Last year was like 85, whatever it is. Well, this year they project to be a 90-win team. Okay, well, you want to project to be 95-ish or whatever it may be to give you better odds to ultimately win them all. They're better, but they need to still do more.
Sal, a lot of the hearts of Met fans are, I won't say broken yet because it's not official until he signs somewhere else, but the hearts are stinging today. I get that. That's the emotional part. The baseball part is, in all probability, a guy who's going to hit 235 the next couple of years, strike out a ton, can't run, and has no real cover. I know he scoops the ball. No real coverage at first base, and is a zero on the bags, as I said, is gone. And when you look at it from a baseball perspective, it's going to make sense. When you look at it from an emotional perspective, it's going
to
hurt.
Think about it this way. Which rotation proved to be better for the Mets? One with DeGrom and Scherzer, one with Scherzer and Verlander, or one with Luis Severino and Sean Manaea? Like, they got more production.
Yeah, unconventionally.
From the rotation that all of us hated going into the year last year.
Yes.
Than ones that all of us loved with the 1-2 punch of DeGrom and Scherzer or Scherzer and Verlander.
But if you throw Bassett in there, then I got to give it to the other two.
Yeah.
Bassett was pretty good. I know he melted down a little bit at the end, but Bassett was pretty good for you guys that year.
Postseason, they failed. This, you get the point.
I got your point.
And this team, by the way, went further. So, remarkable to think. With a lesser bullpen, even as well. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls when we come back. BT and Sal back on the Fan. All right, so we'll get back to the calls here in a second. I love this conversation about Stearns and Cohen and Pete Alonso. With all this being said and the feel, there is still a chance Pete comes back. I don't think it's going to happen because, at the very least, I think Pete will end up taking less to go somewhere else. I don't think at this point Pete wants to come back to New York. I just feel like the damage has been done.
Yep.
But technically, Martino didn't say Alonso's not coming back, the Mets don't want him back, or Pete wants to go elsewhere. It was that the Mets feel as if Pete Alonso is going to sign elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they're on to plans without Pete Alonso. Doesn't mean he can't come back to them and say, hey,
true.
About that 3-year, $68 million deal, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I don't anticipate that. If you had to say one reason, like, do you think it's over? You said
it's over.
Okay, and why do you think that
because
it's over?
I don't think that specific information would have been given to Andy or anybody else if the Mets hadn't already made up their mind. Like, so the way that was worded to me was either the Mets clearly telling Boris, we're not going higher than this, and Boris saying, then we're bouncing, or something along the lines where there was a definitive exchange. Otherwise, the Mets would have kept the door slightly ajar. I think it's over.
Do you think there's a better chance that Pete goes back to the Mets to accept that deal?
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess that, because that would be one way, and then the Mets would tell him no, or the fact that Pete just wouldn't come back to the Mets?
If I had to handicap the odds on a few unlikely scenarios, I would say that what I would, and I wouldn't bet on this, but if I had to put money on something, I would say I'd probably gravitate to the Mets not getting Vlad yet, the Mets getting a little restless, and maybe throwing a few more bucks on the table for Pete, and maybe this thing get resolved. But again, I don't think it
happens. Interesting. That would be shocking to me. I don't think that happens.
So you think they get Vladdy by opening day?
No. I'm talking about Pete. The Mets extending for Pete. I think the Mets have made their offer clear.
I do, too. I'm just telling you, though, of all the possibilities. No, he's gone.
The only way a reunion would happen is if Pete goes back to the Mets, and then they accept it. And I don't think either of those is going to happen. I don't think Pete would ever go back to the Mets at this point. And I think even if he did, I'm not so sure the Mets would even accept the offer that they gave him, the 3-year, 68 or 70 million.
Yeah, I don't know how the Mets would react to that, but I feel more confident saying there's no way Pete's going to tuck his tail between his legs and crawl back to the Mets for 3 years at $68 million. There's just no way.
Again, he already did tuck his tail, kind of go back to the Mets and say, here's your exclusive 3-year offer.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, let's get back to the phones. Brad is in Mineola. What's up, Brad?
All right, so listen to everybody call and that guy from Sound Beach, oh my God, but I'll just leave it at that. Here's the deal. Emotion is always going to be involved, right? I have another jersey that's going to sit in my closet that will never be worn again, more than likely, and will collect dust. At the end of the day, I agreed with you guys all season long last year, up until he hit that home run in Milwaukee. that changed everything, and that made it more sentimental to me about why I wanted him back. Now, let's make this clear here. The Mets did get better. The Mets spent oodles of money on the best free agent that has hit the market in forever. I trust the process. I trust Stearns. I trust Cohen. Cohen didn't become a multi-billionaire because of his emotions on a stock or his emotions on something like that. He also loves the Mets, like you said. He loves the Mets, and he probably is. You are right, BT. He probably is as close to George Steinbrenner as you can get in regards to wanting the team to win.
Yep.
With that being said, I have three players that I want if we do not get Vladdy before spring training.
Okay, go ahead. Who do you want?
Tanner Scott? I want Santander to replace Alonso.
Okay.
I want Irby Yates, and I want David Robertson.
You already had Robertson. You want David Robertson?
I think you're going smaller there in the bullpen. They probably get bigger. I wouldn't say Yates wouldn't be a possibility, but I mean, I think they're eyeing Tanner Scott on a short-term deal, higher AAV.
Yep.
Again, who knows? But point is, I would expect it to be a big bullpen arm. At least one big bullpen arm.
So would I.
I don't know about Santander. Martina wrote that it was probably less likely an option.
I don't see him in Queens. Well, I just don't.
It would have to be on a one-year deal. And then you're putting him at first base, and he's not really a first baseman, right?
That's a different change, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think with bringing Winker back...
Like a DH. Well, he's not going to want a DH at this age.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think with bringing Winker back, that takes Santander out.
Right now, the
Mets DH spot, unless they trade Marte, and then another whole...
They're trying to, I read yesterday.
Yes, but then another whole... I think Puma, the Post, had that. And that was been reported a while ago. But then another whole world of possibilities open, because who knows how much money they're going to have to pay. But Marte's, I think, making 19.
He's making 19.
Okay, so even if you got rid of half of that, now you got a little more wiggle room to work with. Plus, you're going to need a right-handed... potential bat to complement Winker at DH.
I know. I've kind of said this a few times, but I think it's. I have to throw it in again. I think it's pertinent to what we're talking about now. And I know that some people don't love hearing this, but I really believe this. And I get why it happened in real time. I'm talking about now. The Nimmo contract is not good. It's hampering what the Mets could do.
Yeah, but how much? It's not really.
It is, though. Not so much that Cohen can't spend more money.
It's just that you're paying
for... 5 years to go. You're locked in. You paid him as a center fielder. He's never playing center again. He's playing left. He's, you know...
I don't think the issue is the contract. I think the issue is the player.
Well, I think it's both. Because if he was a better player, then the contract's not an issue.
Well,
but the fact that you don't... Do you really... And listen, I'm not saying there's no value.
Right,
I know
now
he plays hard.
Hitter.
He's got pop. I like him. But they paid for one thing, and he's kind of very quickly morphed into something else.
Oh, he's
a left fielder.
He hasn't been consistent or good. And I would say that maybe the market paid him as a center fielder.
Either way, I agree with that, because the Rockies were going, I'm with you
but
on that.
But they knew he was not going to be a center fielder. Like, he really wasn't even a center fielder then. We all knew it. Anybody that's watched baseball for any period, you could hope and think that he might be. He's not. Brandon Nimmo's not a
center fielder. No, that's over. I don't even like him in left field. Yeah. But whatever. But think about this. Like, just say for a moment, say if Nimmo's not on the team.
Right.
Think about what you could do then.
Yeah, well, think about Marte's money coming off next year. The Mets are going to be in a better spot financially, if they don't trade him. McNeil's contract soon. And I don't think money, like, let's just say Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was on the open market right now. I think he'd be a New York Met. Steve Cohen doesn't mind going over the luxury tax threshold if it's the right investment.
Mm-hmm.
And there are ways that you could work it with, you know, whether it's deferrals or whatever it may be, but it's got to be the right investment. They're not going to lock themselves in, even if it's for 3 years, at a price that's going to cost them from maybe getting something bigger and better, which brings us back to the Alonso thing. Why tie yourself into him when you could do better?
Yeah, but just to be clear about the Nimmo stuff, I'm not talking about the money of the contract. I'm talking about the roster logistics, the limitations in terms of who they could go pursue, just because you've got a guy now who's good. And I'm not even worried about the money. I know he can afford it. It's not a big deal. But he's going to play. Like, if he's on the team, he's playing every day if he's healthy.
But play this out. Let's say next year.
Yep. Marte's gone. Even if you don't trade him this year, he's gone no matter what.
But I'm also talking about just Nimmo. He could be the DH. Who's to say Nimmo's got to be in the outfield?
I guess.
I think it's more important to keep Brandon Nimmo healthy And by the way, even if you just had that DH as being like a flex spot,
yeah,
where Winker is clearly a DH. Marte at this point clearly a DH.
I like Winker better in the outfield than Nimmo.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that they can't play the outfield on occasion, but yeah, well, that's my point, is that they're not locked into anything with a DH spot. And moving forward, you could have Soto DH a couple days. You could have Nimmo DH more often than
Lindor
not.
Lindor once in a while as he gets
whatever.
Older. A little bit older.
However you do that, that's fine. But maybe get then a better outfielder than like defensively and potentially offensively. The Mets know what they need to build a ball club.
I'm not saying there's no way out of it. Yeah. I'm just saying like right now it's restricting what they could do. In my opinion. I mean, not everybody sees it that way because some people value Nimmo more than me. And I know he's good.
I just don't know.
I'm not trying to completely obliterate what he is. He's good.
Well, how is it like, who are they not getting that they could get?
Santander.
Yeah, but you think he's better than Nimmo?
Is Nimmo ever going to hit 44 home runs?
No, but he's just a better overall offensive player.
I'm not saying he's not. But Santander's a switch hitter. Nimmo's, better going first to third, but didn't steal bases, so he's faster, right. but it doesn't really translate on the bags, and he's not a good fielder. Santander's not a great fielder, but he's better. Nimmo's got a better arm.
Right, but I guess if they thought he was an option for them for a year, they'd take him, let's say, instead of signing Winker, and have him mix outfield and DH, and you could do the same thing that you would have done anyway.
But Santander's not going to be open to a one-year deal because he just hit 44 home runs.
Right. I don't really want him. Other than a flyer for a one-year deal, I wouldn't want him anyway. We'll continue with the conversation. Also, Hoff, he's been texting us since last night.
Scott,
he's going nuts about
tweets.
It. Hoff is exactly the fan that we're talking about.
He's out of his mind.
That needs to get some rationale here and trust in ownership. We'll hear from him as well as your calls, 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.